Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 1. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to talk to you about the meaning of Revelation. And I want to first begin by talking about the meaning of the word itself. Revelation. What is revelation in the scripture? And then I want to talk about the meaning of the book of Revelation specifically. And let's look at Revelation 1, verse 1. It starts out, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him," the Father giving this to the Son, that's what that's speaking of, "to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John," that's the Apostle John, who was the human writer of the Gospel of John, the human writer also of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also this book. Verse 2, "who bear record of the word of God." The word of God is a record. "And of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of the end of all, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now, as I said, I want to start off by talking about the word revelation and what that word means. And if you were to go to the original language in which the New Testament was written, which is the Greek language, you'd find there that the word that is translated here, revelation, is actually the Greek word, as we transliterate it to the English, is the word apocalypse. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And that can be misleading because of people's thoughts. Because when you think of apocalypse, what do you think of? You think of some great destruction, don't you? Like an atom bomb or a hydrogen bomb going off. Something like that. But that's not what it means. Now, that's not to say when Christ comes again, the second time, and incidentally, he's only coming one time again. And I'll get into that much later in the as we study. When he comes the second time, there is going to be great destruction. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, for example, here it speaks of how the Lord is not slack concerning his promise of coming, but he's long-suffering to usward, meaning his elect, his chosen people, given him before the foundation of the world. This is 2 Peter 3:9. "Not willing that any should perish," that's any of those whom God gave him before the foundation of the world, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, "not willing that any of them should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And people ask, well, why hasn't the Lord come again? Well, he's got some sheep out there who are still lost. And he's going to bring them to, by the power of the Spirit, under the preaching of the gospel, he's going to bring those sheep to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's what the Spirit does. He comes in power, the gospel power, empowered by the Spirit. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I read that in the opening. And he comes in power, and he brings the sheep, the lost sheep, under the preaching of the gospel, the good news of how God saves sinners by his grace through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them the gift of faith, knowledge and faith, trust in Christ for all salvation. If the Spirit's done his work in you and in me, we trust nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of his person and the power of his finished work to save us, to keep us, and to bring us to glory. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust each other for salvation. And that's what the Spirit does. And he brings us to repentance. Well, when that last sheep is brought into the fold, that's when Christ will come again. We don't know when that is. And we can't figure out when that's going to be. And there are no signs given of that, because it says he'll come as a thief in the night. Look at verse 10 of 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, when you least expect it. Now, God's people, believers, were to live every day expecting that this might be the day. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know when he's coming. People have tried to figure it out. There was an old preacher out in California who set dates. He wrote a whole book on it, setting a date. I think it was sometime in 1988, I think. He was wrong. But the book was probably a bestseller. You know how people are. Well, we don't know when he's coming. But I'm to live today as if he might come today. I'm to live tomorrow as if he might come tomorrow. But he's going to come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This is no secret coming. You know, people today, they believe he's coming in secret and people are just going to disappear off there. That's not scriptural, folks. Understand me. He said, with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, global warming. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's a great catastrophe. And he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So what are we to be doing? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Resting in him. The justified, Paul wrote in Romans 1:17, shall live by faith. Looking to Christ. Laying hold of Christ. Living living in and by his word. Worshiping God. That's what we're to be doing. We're to take care of our families. We're to take care of ourselves. We're to do the things that God has blessed us with on this earth and be responsible citizens. But all in all, our hope, our faith is in the one who's coming. And we look to him and for him. So that's all going to happen. But now this word revelation, this word apocalypse, what does it mean? Here's what it means. It means the unveiling of God's truth to his people. It means the truth unveiled, to uncover that which is hidden. It's an opening up of light, to disclose, to make manifest, to make visible. That's what apocalypse means. Here is a truth of God's word, and it's revealed in the Bible. And yet it's revealed by the Spirit. The Bible teaches that there are two types of revelation. Some man said one time that the Bible is one book with two volumes in that sense. But there's two types of revelation. First of all, there's a natural, general revelation given to all people in nature and in conscience. And Brother Jim just read about that general revelation back up in Psalm 19. Listen to what it says, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. What are you talking about, the heavens? Talking about the sky. Talking about beyond the sky, the stars, the sun, all of that. Verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It's like God speaking to every person about his glory in creation. And there's enough revelation of God in that creation by which God holds everybody accountable. When you look at that revelation in nature, what do you see? And then the revelation of conscience. God creates everyone with a conscience, a natural conscience. And so there is a natural, general revelation given to all people in nature and in conscience. But secondly, the other type of revelation is this. There's a special saving revelation given to some people. And it's necessary for salvation. Listen to the words of our Lord in John 17. This is his high priestly prayer. John 17, 1. Listen to this. It says, "These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Now he's talking about the hour of his death. Verse 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Now he's speaking of God's elect there, his sheep. Back in John 6:37, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will nowise cast out." But look at verse 3 of John 17. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Eternal life is to know God. Now somebody might say, "Well, everybody knows God." Well, I'm sorry to say everybody doesn't. Now there is that general revelation in nature. Many people know the God of creation, but they don't know the God of salvation. That's the problem. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Now the Lord said that this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Think about it. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Eternal life is to know God. It's to know God both as a just judge, a righteous judge, as well as a loving, merciful Savior. The question that is answered in the revelation of the gospel is, how can God be both? How can he be both a just judge and deal with me, a sinner, in justice, which is death? And how can he be both a just and righteous judge towards me and yet save me in mercy and grace and love without denying himself? He cannot save me in a way that denies his justice. The gospel is the answer to that. And it's, of course, by his grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. But look at Matthew 11, verse 25. It says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." Now, who is the wise and the prudent? That's us by nature. Wise in our own eyes. Think we know more than we know. But he's revealed it unto babes. What is a babe? It's one who is totally dependent upon the mother and the father for their life. And that's what he brings his people to be. He brings us to understand that when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God, we are like babies, totally, totally dependent upon Christ for our life, our spiritual life, our salvation, our well-being. And he says in verse 26, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Now look at verse 27 of Matthew 11. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will" what? "Reveal him." That's the same word, a different form of the same word, apocalypse, the revelation. Now remember what I said. Look at Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are two kinds of revelation. Remember this. There's that natural revelation of God in creation and conscience given to everybody. But if that's all the revelation you have, if that's all you have, you're of all people most miserable. There's no salvation in that. That's why in Psalm 19 he went on and said, he said the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the doctrine of God is what that means, is able to convert the soul. In other words, for salvation, we need more than to know the God of creation revealed in nature. We need to know the God of the Bible, the God of the Word, who reveals himself as both a just God and a Savior. And he says right here, look, this special, that we need that special revelation that comes by the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Now, why is that special revelation necessary for my salvation, for your salvation? Well, look at 1 Corinthians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What's he saying to us there? Man by nature doesn't know God. Doesn't know the God of salvation. Doesn't know the God of saving love. Doesn't know the God who saves sinners by his grace. He says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, that's believers, by his Spirit. This is how God reveals it. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, what about the spirit of man? Man is spiritually dead, the Bible teaches us. Man's spirit is fallen. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's what the Spirit reveals. The salvation that is freely, unconditionally given to God's people through Christ. But look down at verse 14 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. General revelation, or the revelation of God in nature, is addressed to man as man, but man does not have the spiritual capacity for fully understanding it. That's why Christ said we must be born again. Look over at Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 18. This is right after he speaks of the revelation of Christ in the gospel. You see, the gospel is the revelation of God in Christ for salvation. And so he said, for in it is the righteousness of God revealed. What does he reveal? He reveals how God justifies, saves, forgives, declares righteous sinners by his grace, through the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed, charged, accounted, and received by God-given faith. But look at verse 18 of Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, how has God showed it unto them? In the natural revelation, nature, conscience. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth tells us that there's a creator, an intelligent being. Not everybody believes that, do they? He says, being understood by the things that are made. even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In verse 21, because that when they knew God, that is in their minds, that natural regeneration, revelation, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of God, that glory that's revealed in creation, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Working down into the sinfulness that we see so much. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God, that truth revealed in creation, into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. What do men by nature do with that natural revelation? Do they worship the true and living God? No, they worship themselves. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. They worship the earth. That's especially prevalent today. Anything but God. Well, that's why Christ said we must be born again, or we can't see the kingdom of God. It's not revealed. So what is the nature of special saving revelation? Well, as we read over in Romans chapter 1, it's the gospel revelation, the uncovering manifestation of the truth that God reveals of himself and that God reveals of us and that God reveals of how he saves sinners by his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It, the gospel, in the power of the Spirit, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. That means they've been given the gift of faith by God. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek or the Gentile also. There's no physical hindrances here. Doesn't matter who you are. What you are, what color you are. Listen, we're all sinners. We all need salvation by grace. We all need the forgiveness of our sins on a just ground. The gospel tells us the only just ground, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a revelation. But it's only a revelation to me and to you if we believe it. And that believing is the gift of God. It's not in us by nature. The natural man receiveth not that revelation. It's foolishness to him. We need to understand that we are in need of a righteousness, a perfection of righteousness that we can't produce, but that God has already accomplished through his Son on the cross. By his obedience unto death, Christ produced a perfect righteousness whereby God is just to save and to justify sinners like me and you. And that's what he says in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the righteousness of God? It's the perfection of law and justice that can only be found in Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, uncovered, made manifest, opened up. And he says, for the justified, it's written that the justified, who are the justified? Those who stand before God forgiven of all their sins based on that one ground, the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who stand before God righteous, declared so by God, not by men, but by God, in the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's the just ground. The justified shall live by faith. The gospel revelation is addressed to people as sinners. It's only by God's revelation that we know our sinfulness. Oh, everybody will admit that we're sinners and that we've done some things wrong. But here's what the gospel revelation says in the power of the Spirit. That without Christ, without His blood, without His righteousness, I am nothing but sin in the eyes of God. And that applies to the best of us as well as to the worst of us. Even my efforts to save myself, if aimed at saving myself, my friend, it's sin. That's what it reveals. It reveals, it's a powerful revelation that gives us spiritual life and calls us irresistibly to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. And it shows us that in the eyes of Almighty God, who requires a perfection of righteousness that we don't have, that without Christ, we're doomed. We have no hope. Paul, when he was talking to the Galatian church, talking about this gospel revelation, he said in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Man didn't come up with this. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. You want to know God? He's only revealed in the person and work of Christ. Paul went on in Galatians 1:15. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Now there are other revelations from God to His people. In the Old Testament, He revealed Himself to His holy prophets. He even did it back then in dreams and visions, audible words, the revelation of the Scriptures. Paul had a revelation that no other apostle had, and that had to do with the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. He spoke of that in Ephesians chapter 3. But here's my point. And with that in mind, go back to Revelation 1. All saving revelations of God to His people find their foundation, find their purpose and meaning in Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. All of God's saving revelations find their foundation, their purpose, their meaning, and even their goal in the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to this book of Revelation. Look at it. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this is. This is an uncovering. This is an open manifestation that was given to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by the Father, to give through a messenger to the Apostle John to give to the people. So it's a revelation of Christ, the Word of God, revealed by Jesus Christ to His church through the Apostle John. But now listen to me. From here on to the end of this Bible, and from here on back to Genesis, it's a revelation about Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Christ given from Him to His people, but it's a revelation about Him. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Now, you might think it's about all kinds of other things, and there are other things here, but it all finds its foundation, its purpose, and its meaning, and its goal in the glory of who Jesus Christ is. The glory of His person. And John begins to describe the vision that the angel gave him of Christ in the glory of His person. God manifest in the flesh. That's the only one who can save a sinner. He must be God. And He must be man without sin. The Word made flesh, dwelling among us. God manifest in the flesh. The power and success of His finished work, His righteousness. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. What is that? That's the merit, the value of what Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, accomplished in His obedience unto death for His people to save us, to ensure the salvation of His sheep. And so He said, "This is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day." And then in this book of Revelation, we see the trials, the persecutions that His church in the last days will go through. And what are those last days? Well, they began when Christ died on that cross, rose again, and ascended to the Father. Do you know those were the last days? And they continue on up until His second coming. Do you know what we're living in the last days? And in this book of Revelation, He shows our trials as a church, as individual brethren, persecutions. But listen to me. He also shows, and thank God for this, He also shows forth the security of His church in the last days. When Christ told His disciples, He said He's the builder of His church. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. You're going to see how that plays out in the book of Revelation. This is the last days. This is the new covenant days we're living in. And the only hope that we have, folks, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's it. We have no salvation. We have no security. And there'll be no glory except in this person based upon this work of righteousness that He accomplished for us. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. And if you lose sight of that, you'll always miss the truth that's revealed there. Keep that in mind. All right. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 158. Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove. Let's stand and we'll close our service with this.